You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
The map has been created over about a year physically by a mapping person who works with our organisation. But the names which it presents have been, which are almost 180 of them, have been the product of many years' research and language revival by our team. Our goal, of course, is to be reviving all the vocabulary and place names of the original Tasmanian Aboriginal languages. So the map is our way of making available to the public the names of places within Luktuwita, Tasmania, which they can now use instead of the imposed European names.
And what's the beauty of releasing it to the public in this interactive map format? What's the beauty of it and how we're trying to reach out to the public and inform them about these Aboriginal place names?
Well, obviously, every place in Australia had its own Aboriginal name before the Europeans came and imposed their own, irrelevant names on the places. And so it's an important way for white Australia and white Tasmania to acknowledge and honour the fact that, Aboriginal people first owned and still own the land, and that their languages and cultures have been disrupted and decimated in many ways, but are still resilient and have survived and can be reaccessed, reactivated. And that it's an honour and a privilege for white people to be able to do this, and Aboriginal people now feel happy to share these names.
And as you said, it's about reviving the language in some sense. You spoke about the work it's taken to revive Palawakani, the revived language of the Tasmanian Aborigines. Can you tell me about a little bit about that story? Did it die out completely? What happened with that language?
The language almost died out completely. There were a few words still in spoken use, but obviously it wasn't used as a first language anywhere, and it hadn't been used as a first language since the mid-1800s. There were a lot of records taken of it, mercifully though, by lots of settlers and others, and so it was possible, has been possible to examine that documentation, and we've trained Aboriginal people in Tasmania have been trained in linguistics and research methods to be able to redevelop from those records the original sounds of the original languages and bring them back into use. There were between 8 to 16 original languages here in Tasmania, but not enough remains of any single one of those to be able to bring it back to life as a, as a whole language. So the community accepted back in the early 1990s when this project started that an Aboriginal language in Tasmania would have to be made up of parts of all of those original languages. So words are drawn from pretty much all of those original languages of which there are records to make one composite language now, which is spoken throughout the state.
Mm. And what is your hope of what will come with the project? It's already out there in the public. People can access the map and the stories of the names and the origins. What's the hope for where the project might go?
Well, we just hope that we hear people seeing and using them. We were really delighted back, was it last year or the year before, the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre offered the Hobart City Council in Reconciliation Week the name Nipaluna for the name of the city and surrounds of Hobart, which the Mayor happily accepted, but it didn't get, formally assigned. But as a result of that, a lot of people now use that name, and we were delighted to go down to the waterfront to get a coffee one day and see that some enterprising, pop-up coffee shop had called themselves Nipaluna. When people take it on, and, not that we, our one stipulation is we don't want people naming their businesses and things after it, for commercial use. These are the names of places. So to use them for those places is you know, the thing to do. But to hear the general public saying these words, what we want is to hear people saying these words again, to bring the language back to life, both Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people, so that the air in Lutruwita, Tasmania, is full of the sound of Aboriginal language spoken again.
And can you tell me maybe one of the favourite place names and a bit of the story that caught your eye when you were involved in the project?
There are some places, on the map that don't have European names to start with. You know, obviously there are going to be places that Aboriginal people named which weren't considered worthy of, you know, having a European name imposed on them. You know, given that Aboriginal names, you know, apply to all kind of geographical features and linked, you know, connections in the landscape. So in the course of this work, we've found several names for places that don't appear on maps anyway, or that appear mapped under completely inappropriate names. Now, one of these, there's a place up in the northwest of Tasmania called Suicide Bay. And this is at Pilrie, Cape Grim, which is a notorious massacre site where Aboriginal people were forced off the cliffs in 1828 by the employees of the Van Diemen's Land Company. So Luwuka is the name that was used by Aboriginal people for this place. Tunamina Wyatt of Cape Grim told Robinson this name on the same day that six Aboriginal women had told him of the 1828 massacre and other atrocities at Cape Grim. This is where Aboriginal men, women and children were forced into the sea and killed by Van Diemen's Land Company shepherds in 1828 and since named Suicide Bay. Now, at the same time as Tunamina Wyatt told Robinson the name Luwuka, he also told him another name, Nakali, which is the name of the cave which is the cave opposite the Doughboys, near to where the natives were killed in the Cape Grim massacre. So this is a cave which Aboriginal people know of and which was used at the time by the tribes to shelter in, but for which there's not a European name.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.